Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Blackbusters.
What's cracking, family? What it do? We are doing it again, man. Remotely doing Blackbusters, the best movie review podcast in the world.
In the world, Craig.
I'm your host. Craig. Yes, sir. I'm your host, Big Ja, along with my co-host,
Ticket Tone. Ticket Tone.
Got the ticket. You the ticket?
I got the ticket.
You got the ticket. Ticket Tone, man. We are back once again doing remotely from our studios, our offices, I should say. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, we're going to have fun with this one. This is about to be an interesting episode. Hot take galore, I feel.
Yeah.
But, you know, your name is Ticket Tone. For what reason?
Because, you know. I feel like I hit the numbers. I feel like I hit the number with you, Ja. Like I said,
the numbers, hey. Hey, family. When y'all hit the numbers, that means y'all what? Y'all won the lottery, and that's what we're doing this week, man. We're doing lottery ticket, starring Shad Moss.
Yeah, Bow Wow.
We gonna call him Shad Moss. That's what it says in the credits. Shad Moss. That's what he is, man.
Mm-hmm.
You guys might know him as Bow Wow. You know what I'm saying? Not Lil Bow Wow. He's grown up now. It's Bow Wow. Yep. Eric White is the director. Eric White is one of the writers. He's also, along with Abdul Williams and Eric White, wrote the film. And Eric White, he directed the film. It's starring Shad Moss, Brandon T. Jackson, Naturi Naughton. Mm-hmm. Man, low-key, Leslie Jones is in it.
Yeah.
Ice Cube is in it.
Charlie Murphy.
Terry Crews.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of folks in this bad boy, man.
T-Pain. Bill Bellamy.
Mike Epps. Yeah. It's an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
And don't forget Loretta Devine. The illustrious, legendary Loretta Devine. Also, Jason Weaver. Tierra Marie. I mean,
and anytime you get Keith David, exactly. If you get Keith David, you know, you should be on your way to a certified blackbuster classic.
Right.
It's got all the ingredients. If you look just at the cast sheet, it's got everything that it needs.
Yeah.
But we'll keep talking.
On paper. And on top of that, you got Chris from The Wire. Playing Lorenzo. I think his name is Benga Akinabe.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not butchering his name. I do apologize if I am, but it's Benga. I think it's Benga Akinabe.
Yeah.
And you got Chris Williams playing Doug, the shoe store manager.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said, man, on paper, bro, this is a star-studded cast. This is a no-brainer. This is a great film in the making. If I say, man, it's starring this. And like I said, Bow Wow is an artist, but I actually like Bow Wow as an actor. I think Bow Wow is a solid actor. He's just a talented dude. You know what I'm saying?
And the movie has a good premise. It has a really good premise that's interesting, right? Like, you know, like kid wins the lottery, you know, on a Friday. you know, will he make it till Tuesday in order, you know, like I, on paper, it's dope.
So, kid from the projects. He lives inside the projects. Mm-hmm. And he won the lottery. He won $370 million, right?
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. It's a lot of dough. And he mm-hmm. has to keep it on the low until he can cash in his ticket on Tuesday. And it's Tuesday because it's 4th of July weekend, which means Monday, the Civic Center or with the Convention Center or whatever, the City Hall is going to be closed. Wherever he has to pick up the ticket and cash in the bread for, yep. In the ticket, that's closed until Tuesday because of 4th of July weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Sad Miles plays Kevin Carson, right? A young dude just trying to make it. I think he just graduated from high school, and he is working at Foot Locker. He's a shoe fanatic. He loves shoes. He has all kinds of J's. You see in the back. I see in the back of your and on your wall, you got the J's right there.
Yeah,
you know, I got a couple shoes in the back. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely we definitely can relate to having let me make sure my situation is right. Boom. Mm-hmm. We can relate to like having like a little shoe, an affinity for shoes. He's that guy. You know what I'm saying? He's very detailed. He lives with his grandmother. He has a job working at the local Foot Locker.
Yeah.
He irons his shoes. I mean, he irons his pants, his shirt,
his shoelaces.
And he irons his shoelaces.
Yeah.
That's how particular he is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He has his thing, his home, his method, his mode of operation and all that. Best friend. His best friend is played Brandon T. Jackson, played by Brandon T. Jackson.
Ride or die. And
ride or die, silly dude. You can tell. Even though this is not a Ice Cube Vision project,
yeah,
I don't believe it might be a Cube Vision. It might be Cube Vision, but it's not written or directed by Ice Cube at all. But right. it has a little sprinkle Ice Cube in there because Brandon T. Jackson kind of makes me feel like Smokey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, like a more subdued, a more anchored.
Yeah,
you know, because he isn't really. He is kind of the comic relief.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, he's silly enough, but he also plays like a serious cat kind of.
Mm-hmm. He's still kind of like, but if you remember, Smokey was like, break yourself, fool. Like he was always him popping in the window the same way Brandon T. Jackson kind of did.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And the hat to the back. But it kind of gave me Friday, a splash of a Friday hint, a hint of Friday swag, you know.
Well, here's what's interesting about this movie, guy. Sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
What's interesting about this movie is everything to me works, with the exception of the story. Mm. And you know, like it's shot really well. As a director, I was like, the director has made the right choices in terms of shot selection. Right, like in the chase, the way you know he would go from long shot to medium shot. Like I was really impressed with like the way that the movie was framed. The big gripe that I have is that these characters make the worst decisions. Like these characters make the worst decisions, and there's an unbelievability about this film that I struggle with. And I do not like the way the hood is portrayed in this movie.
Right. So let's start with that.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, let's open it up, man. Loretta Devine. You said there's this unbelievability in this film, and I agree. Like the reason why this whole situation is started because Big Mama ran her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Big Mama is the safe haven. Big Mama is the voice of reason. Big Mama is the person that keeps you safe and does it. She's been living too long to make certain type of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
She knows her son, her grandson grew up without his parents. He lives in the hood. He's a small guy. He's not a tough guy. He's like she's very, oh, I'm so glad you're home, baby. Be careful. Mm-hmm. Where you going? Like she's a very like kind of pressed aunt grandmother, like, I'm gonna make sure you're safe, baby. She played Loretta Devine, plays Loretta Devine very well, except in this part, this character, she spills the beans.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense to the person who's going to talk to everyone in the hood.
Right, right. Like,
and it's because she got drunk, she got faded, and they, come on, man. Like, she knows better. She knows what telling Samaj would do.
Yeah.
She knows what telling Samaj would do. Now let me give, for some people who haven't watched this film, we got Samaj plays Charlie Murphy. He's the talk of the town. He's the voice of the streets. He's the one that knows everything that goes around in that project complex, right?
Mm-hmm.
Loretta Devine plays Shad Moss's, Kevin Carson's mother, I mean, grandmother, and she plays the numbers every week. So every week she's like, hey, Kevin, on your way to work, stop by the liquor store and play my numbers. Yeah. Right? So he does that. He goes to work, gets fired from work, just like in Friday. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's a whole other story. But he plays the numbers. And T-Pain, shout out to T-Pain, he did a great job. He played
the great in this movie.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Great in this movie. He was so
regular, laid back, and so believable. I know a guy that works at the liquor store. That's that guy. You know what I'm saying? He plays the numbers, but and T-Pain talks him into playing numbers for himself too.
Yeah.
Yo, Kevin, man, why don't you play numbers for you, bro? It's a lot of money out there. And Kevin's like, I don't do this. I don't play the numbers because I don't get myself involved in stuff like that. I don't gamble. I don't play the numbers. I'm good. You sure, man? Right. It's 370,000, 370 million. Go ahead and put the numbers just in case. And he plays the numbers based off the fortune cookie that he got at the food court at the mall where he works, where he got fired at. Now he's having lunch with his homegirl. His female best friend is played by Natori Harden, and her name is Stacy. Yeah. And so I'm cool with all of that.
Yeah.
I'm cool with all that. That's normal stuff. Yep. I'll let you jump
in. That all works. Like everything. Like, John, do you play the lottery every now and then?
No, but my wife does. Every now and then I do. My wife, she doesn't play often, but sometimes my wife is the kind of person that when we're driving to Vegas and we stop in Barstow, she's going to, just because we're in the energy and we're going to Vegas, she's going to grab $20 worth of scratchers. You know what I'm saying? She'll do that. Sometimes she wins. Most of the time she doesn't. But like, she's won before, and she does gamble a little bit in Vegas. So she plays numbers every now and then. And I play it once every 2 years. You know?
I feel like it's throwing money away to keep it 100, right?
Right.
But every now and then, when we get to one of those like super $450 million, you know, I will buy a single ticket, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like I'll go to the store and be like, give me a quick pick. I don't have specific numbers that I play. So I'm kind of like our character in the movie in a sense that, like, I don't normally do this, but fine.
Yeah. I'm Kevin Carson.
Yeah, yeah. So when he wins, everything about the movie is flowing well. He wins. He tells his grandma. They scream and holler and dance and do all the things.
That's normal.
Yeah. It is. It's normal that, like, that he's trying to keep it in, but he can't help but tell his homie, his best friend. Like, that all works.
That's real. Yeah, that's real too.
The thing that doesn't work is when Loretta Devine tells Samaje she's supposed to be smarter than that.
Yeah. And here's the thing. In writing, in the script, you got to be like, okay, how does some... we got to find... the talk of the town, the voice of the streets has to find out. How does he find out? And that was the way they decided to make him find out, and I thought that was a bad choice. He can find out, but he finds out in different ways. He finds out in different ways. He's a barber. He's a guy that he's always listening. But he came over to fish. He came over to figure things out. But, like, as she told, he should have overheard something. He should have, like, heard them rejoicing could have been outside the window. This is cheap, too. But he could have been outside the window and overheard them talking about keeping the ticket silent.
Yeah.
And that could, like, and that could be.
He could have connected the dots and put them in a position where they either had to answer or their silence answered. Right. Like, you know, why y'all been so happy? Why is he going downtown?
Yeah.
Y'all won the lottery, didn't you?
No, we didn't win the lottery now. Why would we do that?
Kid. Like, you know, like give up the goods that way.
Even if it's like, Samaj, man. And let's say they put each other to the side and Benny's like, bro, you gotta tell him the truth because if you tell him the truth and it's telling that you're gonna not give him, you're gonna give him some money if he don't say nothing, then we'll keep him quiet. But if he don't say nothing at all, whether or not he's right or wrong, he's gonna spread the news. He's gonna spread the gossip. Right. Right. So you gotta but yo, Samaj, all right, I won. What you want? Yeah. Bro, don't say nothing to nobody.
You know, or something. Right.
Something,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
But having moms spill the beans, it was so unassuming and it was just so out of character for her, for the grandmother to do that. If the grandmother is messy, she didn't come off as a messy grandmother. She came as she came off as a no nonsense grandmother, cooking breakfast for her grandbaby, making Benny giving Benny strong looks when he said something crazy. And she she was no nonsense. That's Big Mama.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they totally took the legs out of her as a character, as an authority figure. From that point on, she's just kind of like a cartoon. She's just kind of like the rest of them. And she especially was the one that, like, understands. Well, this is the part where I kind of get a little, like, screwy with the movie. Because what I don't like is I don't like the fact that, like, having a winning lottery ticket in the hood is like an automatic death ticket. Right? Like, the way they kind of set it up that, like, he's now unsafe. Very unsafe because he has this ticket. But she also has to know that, like, that's something that you got to keep to, you know, to yourself. And so she totally forgets the concern that she has about him being outside the moment that he wins that ticket. And then everybody in the neighborhood comes home, right? Like, he comes home, everybody's in the hood there. And that part is realistic, too.
In this house?
So have you ever known anybody that won a lottery job?
Not close. Like, my homeboy's sister won the lottery, and she moved and bought a big old house in Arizona. But I didn't know of her. So I know him, and he know her. He knew her. I mean, he has a sister. So, yeah. So
it's interesting the way people plot when they know somebody that wins the lottery. I'll give you an example. Right. My homeboy, his girlfriend, her grandma won the lottery. He's never even met this woman. He decided he's going to start a production company with the money that the grandma's going to give the girlfriend. We in my house putting together business plans for this production company from this money from a woman that neither one of us has ever met. Right? And so that's how deep the plot gets, right? Where, like, when you hit the number like that, everybody in the hood has their hand out. You know, every single person is with a sob story or their business idea. That part is very true. That, like, the target on his back, not even like a negative target, but like a fulfill my need kind of thing, was apparent right from the start. He probably should have just got out of town, right? Like, at that point, like, he should have drove to the next state and hung out in the hotel room until Tuesday.
Let me just, Granny, you let me hold $100.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And borrow $100 from her, $25 from Benny, and $50 from Stacy.
Yep.
And now you got $175 or, you know what I'm saying, $130-something, whatever. And you out of there. This for the weekend. Get up out of there. But that would be a movie. Also,
that might actually be a better movie. Like,
because it's still, cause because folks, it's still, things can still go awry. You know what I mean?
But people like, could keep finding out that he has the ticket. I'd much rather, I think, see Kevin going against like some thugs in the city, like on some Adventures in Babysitting type shit, than like him wrestling in his own hood with shit.
I think that would be a bigger budget.
Yeah.
I think, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But yeah, Adventures in Babysitting would be a perfect example of like going around the city, spending a whole evening trying to keep yourself safe, or a whole weekend trying to keep yourself safe from the environment of the city. Let's talk characters.
Okay.
We already criticized Loretta Devine's character, Granny, Grandma. Samaj's character is just being Samaj. I get it. Charlie Murphy was just being who he did a good job with his character.
Yeah, he's good.
The know it all, the bean spiller and all that. let's say the four homies that was on the stairs the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I had a problem with Leslie Jones.
Yeah.
I think Leslie Jones is hilarious. I thought Leslie Jones did not need to be in this film. Mm-hmm. I think she, she could be in the film because she's a talented person. But her role was just, she was an extra. She was a glorified extra.
Yeah.
And she didn't fit
the crew.
She did not fit the crew. I feel like that, like, come on, like, but, or she could just be like the baby D of the crew. I get it, but even then, you know what I'm saying? Because the hood dudes hang out with a chick, ain't nobody sliding pipe to her. You know what I'm saying? She's just a homegirl.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But she should have been, but even then, she should have been maybe dressed more like a dude. She should have been like a stud chick or something like that. But she had on, like, she had like the little wave, the bangs and shit. I was like, and she just looked out of place. She did.
He looked out of place.
Jason Weaver's character, hilarious. Nia loved him. He was very, very good. The weird looking dude, the dog face dude, the small guy.
Yeah.
He looked like a little, he got a dog face. he was cool too. The other dude in the black t-shirt, I forget his name. I think he ended up being on like Punk back in the day. He was like on a few later seasons of Punk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why do you need four dudes? You need four guys. And this is what I have a problem with when it comes to like having characters and having a crew of people. And the crew, you can tell that Leslie was just an extra. She barely said anything. Yeah. She's supposed to be funny. She's supposed to be, you know what I'm saying? But and then the other dude, he barely said anything. He was always just like, yup. It was distracting for me because I'm thinking to myself, you just throw these people in there. I feel like they were just thrown in there. Like it was just, you know what? Come on. Action. Go ahead. Get in there, man. I'm gonna hook you up with some FaceTime. Go in there, get in there.
So
like it's they, like,
they, I mean, they served. It was always good comic relief whenever they ran into them because they was, you know, they was always snapping and always like talking. But they served no like real purpose. They weren't protection. They weren't really muscle, even though the one guy had the heat. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Right.
So it just was. It was a means to, I guess, maybe get them to. To Keith David's sweet tea, which is, it's another character that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
sweet tea,
right?
Sweet tea, we supposed to believe, And they show us, because Sweet Tea has henchmen. He's got guys patrolling his space with semi-automatic weapons.
Colombian dudes up top with the ARs.
Yeah. For him,
he's a drug lord. He's a drug lord. That guy runs the town, for sure.
And drug lords don't get knocked out by knuckleheads in the middle of the hood.
And on top of that, drug lords don't get knocked out by getting their nuts smashed by niggas in the hood.
Yes.
That's just not how, that to me, it blew me. Pause. I was like, whoa. Dudes don't snatch you by the nuts to win a fight.
Yep.
Maybe a white boy fight. Maybe a white boy fight. But in the movie, in the hood, Project Lorenzo doesn't have to do that.
Yep.
He grabbed the dudes by the nuts and squeezed hard and the dude fell over. No. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about Lorenzo. I love Lorenzo's, I love the actor. That's Chris from The Wire. And I loved him as Chris from The Wire. He was a goon. He was a henchman. And he played a great guy. And he wasn't a super, super tough, mean face, yelling all the time, big dude. He was just a guy that was the hood shooter for Marlo.
He was muscle. He was a shooter. Was muscle, you're right.
And he wasn't big and malicious. He was just very quiet and subtle. To the point and subtle. Until he had to be big and do some crazy shit. Yeah. But everyone knew that Chris ain't the one you mess with when you walk around.
Yep.
And I like that. And then you got Lorenzo's character, the same actor playing Lorenzo, the super menacing. Now, mind you, he was muscular. He was a big dude compared to Bow Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it threw me off that he was just so, like, he was just such a, he was a bully, really. He wasn't even no real gangster. He was a bully. To me, it just seems like, hey, man. He fresh out of jail. I'm gonna come by the Foot Locker, and you gonna give me some shoes, size 12 and 13s for the homies, five pairs each. Come on, man.
Yeah.
And then when he got there, remember he was like, when those new J's come out, he was like, oh, they come out next Wednesday. All right, I'm gonna pull up and get those. That was for the new shoes that hadn't even dropped yet. But he shows up the same day.
Right. Absolutely.
It doesn't make sense based off what they just talked about.
I do not like super thugs. I hate when like the movie gives me a super thug. And in this one, like the best example of the super thug trope is Debo, right? But Debo is local. He's local. He's simple. You can understand Debo. Debo ain't asking nobody to do no shit that's over the top.
Right.
You know, our guy shows up. Like, nobody shows up at a Foot Locker and goes, just give me shoes in the middle of your shift.
And I'm going to walk out in front of your manager.
Out with him. Right.
And then when the sensor goes off, beep, 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 beep. He looks at like, did you set me up? What? Yeah. Lorenzo isn't that. He isn't that oblivious to crime. He's a criminal.
Right.
He stole stuff from the store before. He knows that if I just take these box of shoes, they don't get scanned. He didn't get them scanned. Now, mind you, I'm nitpicking. Right. We're nitpicking this one. But
I don't even know if this is a nitpick, Ja, because I think that like there's so it doesn't make any sense. So it's one thing like when we nitpick, when we go like something like makes sense on its surface, but maybe we just don't like the way it was executed. In this particular instance, it does not make sense that a guy would tell somebody working at Foot Locker, give me some shoes, right? Like in the middle of your shift, and I'm going to walk out with them. And he's never come across like a security scanner. He doesn't know the way it works. That like if you walk out with merchandise, the alarm goes off. So you're going to accuse him of setting you up. None of that makes sense in the real world. Like
It's lazy. You could have found a better way to make Lorenzo hate Kevin. You could have made a better way. You know what I'm saying? And you could have used the shoes.
Yeah.
You could have used the shoes. It could be like, hey, bro, meet me at the food court, blah, 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 or something like that. I mean, you could have found a better way than the alarms go off and he had no clue that they were going to go off.
Right.
Like, come on, man. Another thing, this before we even get to that, the basketball gag.
Yeah, come on.
He squeezed. When he
it's Super Thug.
Like, come on, bro. What are we doing?
I don't like Super Thug. And not only that, he gets arrested. Lorenzo gets arrested on a Friday. Lorenzo ain't getting out till Tuesday. Right? So for him to show back up in the hood, they let him out for the same reason that Chris can't get the ticket certified. It was the same reason why Lorenzo's going to be in jail every weekend. I'm no thug, but that's why they tell you don't get arrested on a Friday.
On a Friday. Don't, because you're going to be in there. Because you're not going to get out until Tuesday, not even if it wasn't a holiday, because Monday, they're not going to even see you until Monday. And if the line, if you're not on the high up on the list, you might not get seen until Tuesday morning.
Yeah, anyhow, you ain't going to get arraigned until Tuesday.
Yeah. So, now mind you, he had a best friend in Benny, had a female best friend in Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I get that. Yep. And the grandmother wants him to be with Stacy because she's a good girl. She goes to work. She works at the same mall that he works at. He works at Foot Locker. She works at the food court. Panda Express or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Benny don't even have a job, right? Benny just going around life, just living life. Uh-huh. So he wins the lottery. He tells Benny. Benny's on the bus. Of course, it's a comedy. It's a gag. He yells, "Oh, you won! We won!" And he has more sense than that too. Yep. I just kind of have. I understand. Maybe because I just don't like it, but I do understand that you have to do things like yell at the top of your lungs on the bus, a public bus. Oh, we won. When you're not supposed to, you're supposed to be quiet, and he has to cover your mouth. That's super cheap, but I understand.
It's so a comedy. I wouldn't
call it cheap. That's comedy. That's a gag. So let me. But I still had to say it. But Benny's been solid.
Yeah,
Benny's been solid. He's silly, but he's been with Kevin the whole way, running from the hood. You know, so Benny. Meets up with once Kevin gets fired, and comes back home after playing the numbers. He walks home and then he sees his house full of people. The whole project is in his house because his grandmother spilled the beans. That's crazy. Yep. I couldn't imagine her letting that happen.
That's crazy.
It's Granny's house.
Right.
Granny's house. Nah, y'all way outside. Yeah. Anyhow, and then they chase him. I get it. It's a movie. You got to get the shock value. He hides in Benny's house, my bedroom, my window. They hop in the window. He hides there. He stays the night there. He wakes up. Why don't you just stay in the house, bro? Where are you going?
Just stay there.
You know what I'm saying? And so
nobody knows where you are.
Right. Benny just brings you food, and you stay there, watch TV in the bedroom all day until Sunday. You got no job.
Right.
But you're about to cash in with a heavy, heavy payday. Still. But then again, there's no movie. I get it. We got to find a way. So his best friend, she's solid. We see that he's solid. She's solid.
Mm-hmm.
And then the neighborhood little flipper, old girl they from high school, Tia Marie's character.
Little flipper.
Yeah, man. She's excuse me, my bad. Bro, when Benny and Kevin see her walking the dog, Benny's like, bro, you gotta go talk to her. They had the same age. They went to high school together. They know each other. They from the same projects.
Right.
But he's stumbling and fumbling all over himself. I'm like, bro, he's a loser.
Yeah.
Benny's a loser. I mean, Kevin, won't Kevin come to her? Hey, how you doing? Let me see what her name was. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Swayze, which is a crazy last name.
That's a great name, though.
Nikki Swayze. Oh, that sounds like a female police officer. A cop. Nikki Swayze. Nicole Swayze. So he goes to talk to her. He's stumbling, fumbling. He's clearly like, so he's just a goober. He's not he's a goober, like, I don't understand. So I guess he's supposed to be the geek. He's a goober.
He's just
as
like,
opposed to coming at her regular and her still turning. She can still turn him down, but he can come at her regular. Hey, how you doing, Nikki? You know what I'm saying? I haven't seen you all summer. You know what I'm saying? Blah, 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 blah. How about we go out? And now I'm good. Here, take this. Like, the fumble part was like, okay, that's over the top. They just played into all the cliches. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, the main character is, he's not good with girls. He has a girl, a best friend that's right under his nose that he doesn't see and like see. That. But he wants to, the fly chick that she's way out of his league.
Like, yeah. She's so far out of his league. she plays a great thought, right? Like bouncing from Bill Bellamy to, you know, whatever. And our main character has got to be smart enough to see the shift that, like, she wasn't giving you the time of day until you got that money. He's got to be smarter than that. Like, we gotta, that's, you know, don't make my characters dumb. Put my characters in crazy situations and that they have to get out of. Like, that's awesome. But don't make my main characters dumber than they need to be or they actually need to be. And especially, so,
go ahead.
As an audience, we don't believe that he doesn't see it coming, that he doesn't know. So when I'm watching him pretend like what is obviously true isn't, that takes away from the movie.
Right. And then even Stacy, the best friend, says it, like, really, you gonna fall for this?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even that everyone is duped. No one's duped but him.
Right.
And he's even being warned. And still, so he's just as dumb as his grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And we gotta believe that, like, that Nikki Swayze doesn't know how to play her hand right either. Like, the you don't need a condom, baby, is that's a heavy, like, that happens 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, right? Like, you know, like, we gotta believe that she's smart enough to know that, like, oh, you're not gonna just get pregnant tonight, right? That smash them, put it on them. You know what I mean? Like, you know, give them some head. Like, you know, and then not get that baby in you until you know for sure he has the lottery ticket.
Right.
So they dumb her down in terms of, and not only that, like, ain't no thought of abandoning the mission like that. Right. Like,
you gonna play cool. Right. Everybody, all the hoes in this damn project got a baby, but I can't get pregnant by no baller.
Yeah. That's
To be like, you know what? We beat him down tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You like, did you only expect him to smash once and get out of here? Nah, right. 300 something million. You better let him smash a few times.
And he was used to it. Listen, she was about to put that thing on him in a way that would have blown his mind for the next 10 years at least, right? And we got to know that she knows that. So fine, we'll use your little condom for this time, but you'll be back because. Because I'm about to put that thing on you.
Again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about what's his name? Ice Cube's character, Mr. Washington.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we do this, before I get to that.
Yeah.
So this lottery ticket, even though obviously I'm sure Ice Cube has something to do with it. I'm sure he produced it, this project.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very Friday-ish because everything happens in one day or really a weekend, but it's really one day. And like that's why I guess they had to microwave and fast forward everything to make everything happen so fast. Like, she tries to get pregnant on the first time they smashed and then lets a cat out of the bag when he realizes what she's doing. She doesn't play it off better than that because they don't have time in the movie. Mm-hmm. I get it. But even in Friday, everything happens in the course of a Friday afternoon and then evening.
Yeah.
And it all makes sense. Nothing feels out of place. It just so happens that this is the day that you owe Big Worm that money. And when you don't pay up, I'm coming to kill you. Because I've been looking, I've been asking you for this money for the longest. And you keep putting Smokey. Smokey kept. So, but every so, the fact that there's a drive-by in the project, in that movie, it makes sense. You know what I'm saying? You finally get the girl at the end, Debbie, that you've been trying to get with. But, you know, some circumstances led you to not get with her yet because you had a girlfriend that you just dumped. Everything happens on this Friday. It makes sense. With lottery ticket, a lot of stuff feels forced, unrealistic, like Lorenzo pistol whipping Terry Crews.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terry Crews had, for him to be as big, he was the biggest, largest, most menacing looking muscle in the movie. Sweet T already looks like a crazy OG. And he has a Terry Crews as his henchman. After all that, he gets knocked out by Lorenzo. Not saying it's not realistic. Lorenzo is a big enough dude to beat a bigger guy up like Terry Crews, but it's how he did it. Mm-hmm. And so it basically makes Terry Crews' character a buster. Like he really was
a buster.
He was an easy walkthrough. Lorenzo walked through Terry Crews easily. Jimmy the driver.
Which makes us believe that Sweet T's operation is fraudulent. But it can't because they had Colombians with Uzis.
They had Colombians with Uzis, bro.
So your main muscle can't be a pushover, can't have a glass jaw, and you also be the top dog drug lord of the city. Those two things don't match.
Right.
And now it falls apart. Like everything that we're supposed to believe about Terry Crews falls apart. Everything that we're supposed to believe about Sweet T falls apart because Lorenzo is a super thug that can deflate basketballs with the strength in his hands, right? Like, you know, doesn't make any sense.
He chased him around the whole city and then lost him on the train. And he gets out of jail. He gets out of jail that morning, right?
Right. He's supposed to be locked up.
And then
up.
Goes back to jail the same afternoon. Lorenzo had been in jail for years. They said he had been in jail for a minute. You don't get out of jail and then get arrested. You don't get out of prison or jail, whatever, and then get arrested the same day you get out, and then you get out 2 days later. No, they're gonna put you in there for a couple months.
Put it together for me. We know that Lorenzo gets arrested on Friday,
right,
at the Foot Locker. He gets out on Saturday. Or Sunday.
Sunday.
And then gets arrested again on Sunday.
Right.
And gets out again.
The writers are just making anything happen. They're making anything happen, bro. It's like, come on, man. Mr. Washington
doesn't make any sense.
Is a serial killer. And he be making Kevin to go to the store with him for beef jerky and the Pepsi. All right.
Yeah.
That's cool. In the hood, everybody got Mr. Ben, I forget his name. I forget his last name. His name. No, Mr. Williams or Walters. I forget. But he came outside. We knew who he was. But he was an elder on our block. So he would make you go to the store for him. And you didn't do it. He would give you $10 and then he'd give you $2 for change. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Go in there and give me some whiskey, boy. Going and we would say this for Mr. Williams or Mr. Walters. I think it was Mr. Walters.
Yep.
Mr. Wilton. It is Mr. Wilton. And I mean, he would go and we knew him. My mom knew him. Everyone knew him. But like sometimes he just was like, "Hey man, go to the store for me. Give me something." And then he'll give us some change from it. But Ice Cube shouldn't have played that character, bro.
Yeah.
I didn't.
I mean.
He's not.
It was
once we met Mr. Washington, it just fell apart. The character, he's not scary. He's not. He smiles too much. He laughs too much. Too much of a nice guy.
He's got a limp. You know. He's got I wasn't mad at the way Q played him because Q played him like textbook old dude. Right, like you know, with the way the rasp in his voice and the you know and the old scholarly wisdom that he was given, but yeah, it's just kind of like in the midst of all of this, you kind of got this like phantom hermit like character that nobody ever sees, right? Like you know, and even like the exchange between Kevin and Cube like wasn't all that significant to the movie. Like he didn't really give him any. any new answer or new insight or new pearl that, like, he just spent a couple of minutes in the basement of the old guy.
Right, for no reason. It was
for no reason.
A worthless point. It was to give Ice Cube some time to shine.
Mm-hmm.
Ice Cube was like, yeah. I'll relight this movie. I'll produce this film. I just want to play this old character. I've been thinking about playing this old character in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the Madea era. You know what I'm saying? So I want to give me a character to play. I want to see. It's fun for him. This multi-millionaire filmmaker, actor, and whatnot. Let me just try something new. Yeah. He should have been Sweet Tea, and the name should have been Sweet Tea. And Keith David should have been the old dude. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The old boxer dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Sweet Tea and Ice Cube wouldn't have been the suit and tie Sweet Tea. He would have just been a gangster. Mm-hmm. He just would have been a thug that ran the city. And he could have even had beef with Lorenzo. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Lorenzo was the dude that used to work with him or used to work for him or with him. And now he got, so it might have been two hoods separated into, you know what I'm saying? It could have been a better adversary. And David could have been the old man. He's already an older dude. That could have been, you know what I'm saying? The voice would have done everything. But Ice Cube playing the older dude, no. I didn't buy it. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
It's not like Tyler Perry playing his uncle. You got Madea, Madea's brother. Madea's a great character. Funny character. Then the brother is an old nigga with the air tank. That works too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Ice Cube playing an old dude.
And he can hear the entire hood's conversation through an air vent.
That's goofy. I'm cool with that. That's a nitpick.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a nitpick.
That's a nitpick. But let's talk this legendary scene on the rooftop.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not mad at them for going for it. Right? Like, you could tell that, like, they had the game faces on in the trailer. Right? Like, you know, like, this is the day that we're going to bring it. And it's way too much.
Yes, it's way too much for no reason. It could have got to that, but there was no build up. There was no build up. It should have been. And the rooftop was a perfect time to have that scene. So I'm not mad at the scene for where that it happened. That scene had to happen. It was just poorly written, poorly executed. I almost feel like it was an extra scene that they just say, no, go up there and just riff. Y'all just go.
I
feel like the actor, the director didn't really understand the characters, you know, because all of a sudden, Benny, now I get it. Benny should have done something to make Kevin question him. He did nothing.
Yeah.
He said, hey, bro, Kevin could just say, I don't want this ticket. If it comes with all this madness, all this crap, I don't want it. Benny's like, all right, bro. Give me the ticket. I'll hold on to it until Tuesday. And so if you get caught up, they can't take it from you because you won't have it. It'll be with me.
Which is a smart idea.
I can't do nothing with the ticket until Tuesday. You know where I live.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
I've been your man forever. And the thing that Benny said would happen is what actually happened. Right? Like, you know, he gets knocked out and they steal the ticket. If we follow my man Benny's plan, we knew you're going to get knocked out anyway, but they can't, ain't no ticket for them to take.
So, your best friend, who's been running around the hood with you all movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only bad advice he's giving you is you need to go mess with Nikki Swayze. That was a bad idea. But he's with you. He's dumb, but he's dumb with you because you're dumb too. Right before that, when they were at the church on Sunday, he's the one that came and said, "Hey, bro, Lorenzo just got out of jail, and he's looking for you for what happened to you, the Foot Locker situation. He's looking for you.
Yeah.
Let's get up out of here. Mm-hmm. That's what you. That's what your main man is for. Your ace is supposed to do. Look out for you. He's been looking out for you the whole time. Or he could have joined sides with Lorenzo and helped him find you. And help, I know it. He got the ticket in his left pocket. Just give me $2 million, man. Or give me. I got to get a cut out of this. I'll get you that ticket. He could have did that, but instead he did the opposite. He helped him so many times, like a best friend would. So for Kevin to change, you too, Benny. It should have been something different. He should have been asking about the ticket earlier in that weekend, I'm about to swindle you, but on some hood greedy shit. Like, hey, bro.
On some Lord of the Rings shit. Like, you know, like if Benny was always like, where's the ticket? You got the ticket, right? Got the ticket.
From the jump.
The ticket okay? Yeah. If he was always asking about the ticket, then it would have been like, why are you so worried about this ticket? Like, that would have been more of a natural transition, because Benny is more interested than normal in the condition of the ticket.
Right.
Where it is. Does he have it on him at the moment?
He should have been asking that could to be hold on to it from day one. Exactly. Hey, man, let me hold it. Hey, bro, Benny, no. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna do nothing, man. Come on, man, let me hold it. I'm gonna do nothing with it.
Yeah.
No. Until he finally on the roof, he was like, man, I'll keep telling you, man, you let me hold the ticket. Bro, I'm not letting you hold the ticket. Stop asking me. Matter of fact, why are you so worried about this ticket, Benny? That's how it could have been. But he brought up once, and you could tell the way the conversation was going, that was his last resort. Benny was like, and almost like, I don't want to take this ticket because I don't want to be a target like my boy is.
But I'm such a good friend.
But I'll do it for you, bro, because everyone expects you to have it because it's your ticket. Give it to me, bro.
Yeah.
And if something happened,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And then Kevin squished it up and hurt Benny's feelings. And that's real. And that's real. Because if my boy did me like that, I'm like, bro, nigga, after all this, you think I would steal from me? Yeah. You think I'm asking for the ticket for me? I'm asking for the ticket for you. The dialogue should have been stronger. The dialogue should have been better. That I'm broke. I can't eat. That was terrible.
Yeah.
Bro, you don't have a job, Benny. You're not a hardworking young man trying to make ends meet. Your character is just like your character when what's his name? When Kevin gets home from work, you sitting on the block talking with your girl. You in the same project that he left you at. You ain't doing nothing with your life. So that I can't broke, I can't eat. That's no one's fault but yours, bro. You're not a student. Yeah. You ain't going to school. You ain't, you know what I'm saying? So at this point, you're just a slacker. So
I've never seen two men argue like that. Like, they was all face to face. They full heads was touching and shit like that. Like, you know,
maybe brothers just fighting over the last bowl of cereal as teenagers, maybe as kids, but nah.
Yeah,
it was
that.
Yeah,
they tried. I think they both were very talented actors, and it's almost like the movie didn't set this scene up well.
No way
for us to hit this. For us this to pinnacle. Hit this dramatic, this pinnacle. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of like, had there been more drama in the movie, like
it was.
If you look at Friday, if you look at Friday, Friday doesn't have like a dramatic like summit or apex, right? Like, you know, no big argument or disagreement. It doesn't need to. It's a comedy, and it stays a comedy the entire way. In the middle of this comedy, we have this, I ain't eating. I'm broke. I ain't shit. Like, you know, it's just like.
You got the power to change that, Kevin. You get the power to say, whoa. We know this.
Yeah.
That's stated obvious.
And they're friends like 10 minutes later. like 10 minutes later, they're back to square one.
But I get that part. When you have a homeboy that you grew up with since you was 5 years old, 6 years old in the projects, and y'all have an argument, and y'all like, man, fuck you, F you, and y'all walk away. Mm-hmm. And then voice the reason, you talk to your mom or your brother, your sister, he talked to his grandma, Y'all been friends way too long to be acting like this, man. Go and say, I'm going to apologize. Yeah, yeah, I didn't apologize to nobody. Yeah. Either one is tripping, and then y'all can make up in 10 minutes. That makes sense. But
because the argument was unnecessary, the reconciliation is equally as unnecessary.
I get it.
Right? Like, it's just kind of like we're wasting time. Like, yeah. Because we didn't need this big dramatic drama, the reconciliation feels even more ludicrous.
Right.
Because they shouldn't have been arguing in the beginning, you know, to begin with.
Yep. So, the argument was terrible. I can't eat. I'm broke. You got the power to change that. He's going to change it. You're his best friend. He has $370 right. million, dollars, which means he'll probably end up getting 190 of it, or 100 or 200,000, 200 million of it. You're going to get broken off very well. All right? So you know that. There's no point of him saying that, because what's it's already understood, don't need to be said. You're his best friend. He's not coming across 200,000. He's coming across 200 plus million dollars. You're good.
Yeah.
All you got to do is wait to to Tuesday.
He's already tricked off 100,000 with you. At the,
you're right there with him. You got earrings, bro. You're already taken care of. So, with that being said, he was like, I can't eat. You got the power to change that. It's like, bro, that is going to happen. It's happening. You just got to chill. So, when he was like, instead of saying you got the power to change that, he could have been like, bro, how would you say this, bro? I've been rocking with you since day one. When Sisters whooped your ass, they whooped my ass too. Mm-hmm. I've been side by side with you since. But he could have had a whole monologue of that, of how much you mean to me. You my brother, bro, and I'm yours. And for you to treat me like this, like I'm one of these other niggas, fuck you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Fuck you, and then walk off. That could have been seen. You know what I'm saying?
So when
he was doing that, kind of doing his rant. Kevin was like, well, act like it then. Act like it then. And it was just like, it was a bickering and not dialogue. I'm sure that wasn't in the script like that.
Yeah. He called it a bickering. They was on the roof bickering. Yeah,
up top bickering, bro. It's banter, bro. It's banter. You know what I'm saying? And so
fucking funny.
Yeah, dog.
That's so funny. Hey, Job, that's the perfect way to describe that scene. They went on to the side of the roof to bicker. That's so fucking funny.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man. That's great.
It's
great.
And then you know what scene did make sense? Which was good. What? We saw a building when Stacy and Kevin got together.
Yes.
He over there, she making grilled cheese. We already saw the kitchen. We already saw that she cared about him more than just a friend. We saw how jealous she would get when Nikki Swayze would come around. And we already knew Granny already gave the pass. She loves Stacy for him. So we saw it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so
makes a lot of sense.
And so when he said what he said, I need a girl like you, and she got offended by it, I get that. So we didn't go home, bro. Now all of a sudden, you got to bump your head with Nikki Swayze to realize that I'm the better chick. Nah, nigga, you stupid, and you shouldn't have to went through all that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So and
the only difficult. Go ahead. No, go finish ahead. Your thought,
Ja. And then they got together. They got their smash on. Or they was about to, and then Mama came home.
Mm-hmm. The only part that made that scene difficult for me to watch is I kept thinking about Tasha from Power, and you know what I mean.
That's so like, many years later. I know.
But I know this is the younger version of Tori Naughton. But like, I was lusting after you know, like
from Power,
because I mean she from Power. I mean she's naked in Power. You know she's you know humping hard in Power. Uh-huh. So that's the version that I see. So I just like immediately when she was on screen, like my mouth opened a little bit, like. You know what I mean?
Because, what hey, what Tasha St. Patrick doing with you, this young ass Kevin? What's he doing with this little weirdo?
Yeah.
Hey man, I think I loved her character.
She's the best character.
Yeah, for sure. I enjoyed Benny. Pause. That scene, on that roof, that was terrible for both of them. I promise you, I watched it in the movie theater. When it came out, and me and the homies was like, nah. Nah. Yeah,
that was terrible for both of them.
Who directed that scene, bro?
Ja, you might be right, man, because, like, what do most people take away from this movie? They take away, like, that scene, right? And so what's supposed to be your big dramatic moment in some respects becomes, like, the stain on your talent.
Yeah.
And so, you know, because more so than Bow Wow, you know, Brandon T. Jackson, I felt like had like an upper trajectory.
Yes.
Like, you know, because I think he has certainly more acting chops than what was displayed
right
in Lottery Ticket.
Right.
And this could have stalled that out. Like, you know, like because in some respects, I'm sure he probably used that scene on his reel as an example of, you know, and it
I hope not. I wonder how he feels about that scene. I wonder if he looks back and like, yeah, bro, I didn't cook. I thought I was cooking. I didn't cook. You know what I'm saying? I had no seasoning on that. You know what I'm saying? The meat was, the taco shell was a little soggy. So this wasn't, you know what I mean? It was kind of bland. But Brandon T. Jackson is a talented dude. I've never disliked him in any other role. I didn't dislike him in this one. I liked him in this role. There's no movie that I saw him in that I was like, why is he here? Nah, I took it. Tropic Thunder, I rocked with that. Roll Bounce, I rocked with that. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I even watched the Big Mama's House with him and Martin. I ain't watched that. That's probably my least favorite movies of Martin was the Big Mama stuff.
Yeah.
But Percy Jackson? He was in that. Mm-hmm. Like he worked. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was solid. He was strong. The best part of this movie is the actors, not the movie. If that makes sense.
Yes. Yes.
Not the story.
Like
you had
like
you
Mike Epps cooked.
He cooked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When he swung himself around the pillar and the church had me rolling. Small stuff like that had me dying. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Terry Crews. Terry Crews should have been Lorenzo. Uh-huh. In my opinion.
Yes.
If you're gonna have a nemesis before Lorenzo to knock out Terry Crews. It just wasn't. I guess were they trying to play up like, oh, this guy big for nothing? Oh, y'all might think because he's big, Jimmy the driver, that he really ain't nothing. I have a tough time with that.
It's like they put all their money on Lorenzo. Like Lorenzo is our big bad, right?
Right.
And that's fine, but don't introduce other characters that are supposed to be bigger and badder than Lorenzo.
Right.
Like, you know, like if Lorenzo runs the hood or runs the project, cool. Keep the movie in the project. But the moment you go out and to the cartel, everybody at the cartel is supposed to be eclipsing Lorenzo.
Lorenzo.
So for Lorenzo, little knucklehead neighborhood Lorenzo, to knock out Terry Crews, and then for our cartel leader Sweet Tea to be moving in the hood without muscle.
What's the point of having muscle? He's knocked out. Like,
he's got goons everywhere. There's supposed to be four or five guys walking with him into the projects, right?
Yeah.
And then for him to just get done by Lorenzo, for ultimately Lorenzo to get done by old Ice Cube, it just doesn't make any sense.
Uppercut. I still got it.
Come on, man.
And then Kevin didn't even really fight back. He just he let himself get his ass whooped in front of everybody. Like, it should have been, if anything, it should have been Lorenzo, Kevin beating his ass, like picking up a brick like Craig did on Debo.
Yeah.
You finally fight back.
You know,
At the end of the day, Kevin's a buster. He didn't even fight back. He didn't even fight. Get your ass whooped, at least. He was like, come on, man. He just let the dude punch him up. Just sock him all up and then punch him down to the ground. Like, Stacy, this is who you want? This is your king? Nah, man.
This is your king? I think, man, this movie really does... We take Friday for granted,
man.
Right? Like, you know, because it came out It was a meteoric rise. But Friday does this better than any other movie can do it.
A one-day situation, yeah.
A one-day situation. Friday has a bunch of characters the same way Lottery Ticket has a bunch of characters. But somehow, each character manages to get an identity. You get to know who they are, what their motivations are, you know what I mean, over the span of one day. Like, I would have loved Lottery Ticket to be done with the same intentionality as Friday.
Focus, the same focus.
It would have brought a better movie. Like a better overall movie. The premise kind of like works, but we're just kind of like all over the place. Our main villain gets arrested and released twice over the course of a weekend. Our drug cartel has no teeth. Our thought is obviously it's for as good as they make her out to be, she was really not very good at her job in terms of, like, you know,
she wasn't slick at all.
And we've got to believe that she is that slick, that she knows. If she was dating Jay-Z, which I know are just kind of like joke lines and stuff like that, and Bill Cosby and all of this different type of stuff, then we gotta believe she could have little Kevin wrapped around her pinky, and you know what I mean, like, you know, in just a couple of hours, right?
Right.
So I think all in all, man, like, it's just the movie makes his characters dumb,
too dumb,
and I don't like that. Too dumb.
Like,
I want them to outsmart the competition. I want our heroes to win, but, like, they just made them too stupid.
Yeah.
And none of their decisions are smart.
Except Stacy. Stacy is the only one that was solid. Even Granny's stupid. Like, and even with the little four homies from the block, the gun that he had, it was a water gun.
Yeah. Come on.
Like, what are we doing? On. Then the
With Hennessy in it.
Right. Right. And then I'm gonna go back to the whole snatching the nuts up of Sweet Tea, and that's how you just subdue the dude. That's a white boy gag. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a like, what was the movie you watched back in the day? Monster Squad?
Yeah.
Wolf with Man, the Nards. Nards. Like, you punch somebody in their nuts,